Difficult to sing a familiar song to a different melody. Well done. Thank you. John chapter 13. John 13 in your Bible this morning, Gospel of John. And give you a second to find that. We'll stand in honor of God's Word in just a moment and read a few verses and take that for our text. And then hopefully learn something that goes a little bit along with what they just sang about this morning. John chapter 13. So if you found that, stand with me together. Verse number 12 is where I'll begin reading, and we are picking up a story in the middle for sake of time, shortening the reading. So follow along. I'll read in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, that's talking about Jesus, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And so my title this morning is in the form of a question, are you doing what Jesus did? Are you doing what Jesus did? Father, I pray that you'll help me this morning. I pray that you'll anoint both the preacher and the listener. I pray that your word will find good ground in the hearts of your people and bring forth fruit beginning today and in the weeks and months following. I pray, Lord, again, if there's somebody here this morning that's unsaved, I pray that your word will convict and bring that person to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll get honor to yourself through this time that we spend in your book. So would you please help us? Without you, we can do nothing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. When the Lord's Supper is observed at a church, the members eat a piece of unleavened bread. Now, the bread is a picture of the body of Jesus, which was given for us when he died on the cross. Some of you are familiar with that. They also drink a small cup of juice, which is a picture of the blood of Jesus, which was shed on the cross for the cleansing of our sin. Then, in some churches, they add another part to the observance of the Lord's Supper. They wash each other's feet. Now, I'm not sure how it's done. I've never done that. My brother Tom was a member of a church that practiced that when they observed the Lord's Supper. And some churches include foot washing as a part of the Lord's Supper because of this passage of Scripture. Jesus had gathered with the disciples in a borrowed upper room to observe the Feast of the Passover. And this became known as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. And as the supper ended, Jesus stood up and he took a towel. And the Bible says he gathered up his robe so he could bend over. And he placed the towel over his arm and he poured some water in a basin. And then with the towel and the water, he began to wash the disciples' feet. That happened. Now, some may wonder, well, why don't we follow that practice? If they washed feet at the Last Supper, why don't we wash feet when we observe the Lord's Supper here? And that's an honest question. When Paul wrote about the observance of the Lord's Supper to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, he said this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." And then he talked about taking the bread and passing it. And he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Then he talked about passing the juice. And he said, "This do in remembrance of me." He did not mention anything about washing each other's feet. Now, the Bible here in verse number 15 says plainly that Jesus told them, "I have given you an example to follow." So the bread and the juice were to be taken in order that they might remember that Jesus gave himself to die for their sin. That was what they're supposed to do. But the washing of their feet was done as an example for the disciples to follow in serving one another. Now think about this with me this morning before I get into what I want to apply to us this day. You know, Jesus would soon leave the world and ascend back to heaven. He's about done on earth. And the men in that room would become important men in the days following the ascension of Christ. They would become very influential men in the church at Jerusalem. Some of them would become leaders in the church and be used to give us portions of the New Testament scripture. Peter, James, and John would become pillars of the church. So the men in this room, they would be held in high esteem by all the church. And Jesus gave these future leaders an example to follow. And you know what the example was? It was an example of service. An example of service. Look at verse number 16. We didn't read this verse, but look at it. Jesus went on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." They were the servants. He was the Lord. They would be the sent ones. He was the sender. Now, people, what he was saying was this. If the Lord and sender could wash the feet of men, then the servants and the sent ones could as well. You know what Jesus was saying to these men? Don't get too big for your britches. That's what he's saying. Don't get too big for your britches. Don't forget that even as future leaders in the church, you're still going to be called on to serve people. Folks, there are no CEOs in following Jesus. Only servants. No CEOs. Now, there's a lot of books out there today that are written to Christians, to churches, and they're written to admonish pastors and other people, you know, to establish a model, like a corporate model of a business that should be fine. We had a fellow here some years ago, and that boy, he admonished me two or three times over the years that they were here. You need to understand that this is a business, and you need to model this after a business. And I want to say this morning, the church is not a business. Said over and over again. And he took that scripture over there in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49. Remember that when Jesus was at the temple teaching the doctors and answering their questions and asking them questions, and Joseph and Mary couldn't find him for 3 days. And finally, they came back to the temple, and Mary said to him, What are you doing, man? He's a 12-year-old boy. And Jesus responded, it's by saying, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And this brother was, telling us, you need to develop a model, like, this company has a model, this company has a model, and put it into place. And it's because God's work is a business. Now, folks, where was Jesus when he said that to his mother? He was in the temple. He was in the place where Moses and the Psalms and the prophets were read every Sabbath day. The temple was where the sacrifices were offered. The temple was where the songs were sung. That's where the offerings were given. The temple was the central location for where the work of God was carried out. It was not a place of commerce. It was not a business in the sense of profit and loss. It was a place of service for God. Now, a church like ours, a lot of money comes through the gate, through the plates. That's a blessing. And we're not to be wasteful. And we're to be careful. But a church is not a business. When the money changers attempted to make the temple a place of business, Jesus overthrew their tables and drove them out with a whip. And he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. The business that Jesus referred to was the work of God going on at the temple, not a business in the sense of a corporation or a franchise. And this is exactly what Jesus did not want his disciples to forget. This is why he modeled being a servant. He washed their feet, and then he exhorted them to follow that example. And the example was not limited to the washing of feet. It was enlarged to serving the needs of others within the local church. And that's exactly what Jesus did in this setting. He served the needs of those men. And you know what? The local church should be made up of born-again, baptized believers who are serving others in the work of God. That's what it's supposed to be. This is the example that Jesus gave to those men. It was probably a very startling illustration that maybe caught them off guard. Because they sat through the entire meal without their feet washed. That wasn't normal. Normally, feet got washed as soon as it began, before it began. First thing, you come in the door, feet were washed. So they're sitting there too. I've kind of imagined, and this is not scripture, this is in my imagination. But, just knowing men, being one myself, I can imagine Matthew and Peter and James and John and Nathaniel sitting around that table saying, well, they're whispering under their breath, who's going to wash our feet? I don't see any servant here. There's no servant here. Who's going to wash our feet? And Peter probably spoke up and said, well, if you think I'm doing it, you're nuts. Right? And maybe Matthew spoke up and said, not me. I'm not washing your stinking feet. That's probably what one of us would say. How many of us? But can you imagine how they felt when the Son of God stood up and threw that towel over his arm, girded up his robe, got down on his knees, took that water, and began to wash? I bet it was kind of like sheepish. Now that's what the local church is supposed to be. Supposed to be an assembly of born-again, baptized believers who are serving others in the work of God. What Jesus did in this upper room was not just something to fill time. Jesus did something that he called, this is an example. It's an example of being willing to humbly serve the needs of others. So what kind of need did Jesus meet? I want to talk about that this morning. What kind of need did he meet? When he knelt, with that towel and that basin of water and wash their feet, what kind of need did he meet? Well, first of all, Jesus met a common need. He met a common need. In verses 4 and 5, it gives the story here, what I just talked to you about, where he stood up, he rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments and took a towel, girded himself, and he poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Washing the feet of guests was not something uncommon during this period of time in the Middle East. There are several passages in the Bible that mention washing feet. Genesis 18:4. Abraham is on the plains of Mamre, and he looks up in the heat of the day, and he sees three men walking to him, two angels and the Lord, we find out later, and they came to the place of his tent, and Abraham said, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet." In Genesis chapter 43, when Joseph was down in Egypt and his brothers came down to see him, the Bible says they took the men to Joseph's house and gave them water and they washed their feet. How about this one? When Jesus in Luke chapter 7 entered the house of Simon the Pharisee and then the woman showed up with the ointment and put it on Jesus' feet. So, you know, Jesus turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet." So washing feet was something that was very common. It was not out of the ordinary. It was something that was done over and over and over and over again. You know, people say, well, they didn't wear shoes in those days. Well, I don't think they went barefoot. They probably had some kind of sandals or something, probably not shoes like we would wear today. And the roads were not paved. They were dirt, dusty. So after any kind of journey, their feet would be dirty. And Jesus gave these men an example of serving the common needs of people. Folks, this was not some heroic act. This was not something that brought great notoriety to a person. In fact, washing feet was considered the lowliest act of service that one could do for someone else. The very bottom of the totem pole. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, when Abigail went to meet David and his men, this is what the Bible says, "And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So she's on her face before David and basically says, "While I'm down here, allow me the privilege of serving you by washing you and your servant's feet." That's what Christ did. That's what he did in that room. Abigail says, "Let me be a servant to your servants." And that's exactly what happened in the upper room at the Last Supper. The greatest servant of all became a servant to servants by meeting their common need. There was nothing about this that brought Jesus great notoriety. He filled a common need. Are you doing what Jesus did? You know, I think there are some in churches who only want to do acts of service that ultimately bring them notoriety. They have no interest in serving the common needs of others, but they want to swoop in to perform some service that results in public acclaim. That's not what Jesus modeled for his followers. Jesus didn't throw money at something and say, "Hey, you know, I'm not against that. That helps." But you know what Jesus did? He got his hands dirty. He got his hands in the water. He got his hands on the towel. With his hands, he took that water and that towel. He washed dirty feet. He got on his knees. He got involved. He did something. And that's what he modeled for his followers. Now, we don't live in a day when feet need to be washed like those in Jesus' days. Your feet still need to be washed, okay? If you haven't washed them, go home and do it before you come back tonight, please, all right? But we do live in a day when there are common needs amongst God's people in a church. And those needs need to be met. You know what I thank God? I thank God for the many here who are willing to perform the lowliest of acts to meet the common needs of others in a church. Thank God for the diaper changers in the nursery. Well, that's a real heroic thing, isn't it? It is if there are times when it is, believe me. But you don't put them on the platform, I guess, very often and say, here are the diaper changers. But that's the kind of thing Jesus was talking about. Thank God for the wrench turners in the bus garage. Thank God for the thermostat setter for the building temperatures. Thank God for the bush planters and the bush trimmers. Thank God for those that record the services and download them to the internet and make them available for you to go back and watch, or somebody that's sick to stay home and watch. Thank God for the pick up a piece of trash off the floor people. Thank God for the clean the baptistry people. The one who sets up the chairs in the classrooms for little boys and girls to sit in on Sunday afternoon. Thank God for the one who helps the 3, 4, and 5-year-old children during bathroom time in primary church. That's what Jesus was doing. He's modeling. This is what you do. This is how you serve one another. You get your hands wet. You get involved. Get your hands dirty. You get on your knees. You do something to serve the common need. And it's not always a superheroic act of notoriety that's going to be put on the screen and your name's going to be in lights. It was a common thing. Common thing. There are so many foot washing type acts of service. Ones that get a person a little dirty. Ones that require some humility. They're not seen in public. And in a church like this one, there are so many spots to fill. There are so many people needed to fill those spots. If we didn't have people doing what Jesus did, it would be difficult for this church to move forward. There's got to be foot washers. There's got to be. You know, here, a person must be a member to participate in opportunities for service. And a lot of people, you know, will question sometimes, what does your church have to offer? What's available for my teenager? What children's programs do you have? Are there any support groups that meet during the week? Rarely does anyone ask, how can I serve? How can I serve? What can I do? People, there are so many children and different types of children's classes that it takes so many people to fill the spots. So many. That's you know, dealing with kids is just not my way of washing feet. Well, it may not be. But I want to say something. We've got a lot of kids to take care of. God doesn't expect us to bring them here and not take care of them. Meet their needs. You know, we could throw 800 kids in a class and have bedlam. Or we can break it down into groups of 10 or 15 and have class. But that takes a lot of people. It takes foot washers. You know, I was Joyce and I went up. She's gone with Hannah and Abby down to see Leah. And her baby down in Mississippi. But we spent Friday afternoon and some part of Friday evening with Mike and Cindy Hall up in Carpentersville, where they live up there. The Halls have been friends of ours since 1984, close friends. And, of course, Cindy's cancer has returned, and we hadn't been together for a while, so we went up and had just a wonderful time. We were reminiscing about days at Marion Avenue when I was there as assistant pastor, and Brother Mike was in the ROT. He was teaching military science at the University of Iowa. And he was remembering, he said, you know, Brother Brown called him up one day and said, Brother Mike, he said, I got an idea for the kids, for junior church. I want to split those that come in on buses and those that come in as the church families because the needs are so different. And he said, I thought Brother Terry could take one group and you could take the other. And he's thinking to himself, yeah, I've got a degree and a bachelor's degree from University of Iowa. I got a master's degree from Southern Cal. I'm a professor of military science at University of Iowa right now. And he was thinking, I'll probably take the church kids and Brother Terry can have the bus. Brother Brown gave him the bus kids. And he said, it threw me off at first. But he said, you know what? I just decided, okay. Man, he threw himself into it the first Sunday he came in with rocket grenade launchers and helmets and all this military stuff. And, I mean, they came busting through the doors. The junior church kids were sitting there like that. He said, they all listened. They all behaved. And he said, I just had a blast with them. And it went on for a while. No pun intended, a blast, but no pun intended. And then I think after a while we switched and I got the bus kids and he got the church kids. He said, Brother Brown called him up and said, Brother Mike, I got a Sunday school class for you. And Mike said, got a bachelor's degree from the University of Iowa, got a master's degree from Southern Cal, professor at University of Iowa, military science, probably it's a college and career age group, adults. See, I want you to teach the third grade boys. And Mike thought to himself, third grade boys? He's just being honest. But he said, you know what? I remembered. I got saved as a third grade boy at Vacation Bible School. He took that little class of third grade boys and just taught it for a couple of years. And then God moved him. The army moved him to South Korea. All the way over there to Seoul, South Korea. And they had no church. So he started one. With Cindy and Vanessa and Tara and Nick. Nick was just a little squirt back then. Just a little guy. He was born in 80. Well, I forget what it was. He was born when I was there. And started a church and had these Micah McCurry. We support Micah. Married to Brother Woodward's daughter, Becca. They got reached over there in that church in Korea. Small world, isn't it? Now we support Micah, Bible Tracts Incorporated. He told me Friday night, he had no idea I was preaching this. He told me Friday night, he said, Brother Terry, he said, I am convinced that if I hadn't preached to those kids in junior church, and taught that third grade boy Sunday school class, God would never give me the privilege of starting the church and reaching adults. See, there's got to be foot washers. Got to be foot washers. Got to be guys to drive the bus. Got to be folks to help. This was a common need. Folks, either we learn something for this or it's just a story for historical record purposes. You believe that? You think it's just a story? I don't think it's just a story. I think there's lessons in here for us to learn. So he met a common need. The second kind of need, he didn't just meet a common need. He met a current need. He met a current need. The men were sitting there with their unwashed feet. The supper had ended. The custom, Mark mentioned this, the custom was that their feet were washed when someone arrived at the house. And they had not had their feet washed. So here was a need that should have been met and had to be met right now. So we know what Jesus did. He modeled an example of service. Now watch this. That said, whatever it is that needs to be done, if I can do it, I will. It's current. We don't live in a day when our feet need to be washed. Again, was this story just recorded for history's sake? Or are there lessons here for all of God's people to learn and follow? Is there a lesson here that's applicable to our life today? Yes, Jesus met a current need. And there is the example that we can follow. And I thank God again for people here who respond to needs that rise up immediately. And over the years here, I've seen men grab mops and buckets and run to a bathroom because the toilet overflowed. I've seen people jump up and clean up a mess when a child has gotten sick, didn't make it to the bathroom or the trash can. I've seen people run to the kitchen during the ball games over there when the ball comes bouncing off the floor and they got just bought that can of whatever, Coke or Pepsi or whatever it is. Just bought it. And that ball comes all over the floor. Seen people jump up and run, grab towels and things. Thank God for people who are willing to meet current needs. They see a need and respond. Thank God for the people. One of the things that Brother Allen has to tend to that I'm very thankful I don't have to tend to is catching all the last minute absences. It happens. Thank God for people who are called on Sunday morning and respond to a need. Thank God, you know, when a helper is needed in junior church or a bus driver is needed or a nursery worker is needed or somebody needs to jump in and fill the spot of somebody who was supposed to sing the special and got sick and it's just like, okay, you know what? If I can do it, I will. It's just a current need. And I can tell you, folks, I can tell you right now, there are current needs here and we're just about to ship off about, I didn't add it up exactly, but we're about to ship off maybe 12 young adults to college. And they're involved. A lot of them. They're involved. And that's going to leave holes. Big holes. We got current needs. You know, I mean, it's been a joy. Over the years, you know, a few people come and they tell me, and they tell the staff guys, this is what I'm going to do. And often the things they want to do, they're nice, but they're not necessary. Kind of like, well, that's nice, but boy, the hole sure needs to be plugged over here. It's like the tail on a pig. It's cute, but it doesn't put much ham on the hog. Amen? I don't know if anybody's ever eaten pig tail. Pig jowls. Pig's feet. A pig tail? I don't think so. Not much there. Current needs are things like preparing for a meal for a new mother. Current needs, you know, that was this Thursday, I guess this Wednesday night when three or four ladies brought a meal here for one of the folks, one of the ladies just had a baby. Current needs are things like making a meal for Pam Britt, who's been unable to walk for over a year. Current needs are things like making 2 dozen cookies for football camp. I feel sorry. Some of you folks that have been here for years, you never made one cookie for camp. Not one. I mean, what in the world? Not one. Well, you know, if I'm going to invest time and energy into something, I want it to count. Oh, you must be talking about giving a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty. Because Jesus said, when you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple to someone, you'll not lose your reward. I guess that's pretty significant. So Brother Allen goes out and he gets some stuff for the bus riders, maybe a Dr. Pepper or a bag of popcorn or something. And on the way home, you know, one of these bus captains, Brother Harold or somebody, says, hey, Brother Allen got this stuff for us to have today. And he passes out little bags of popcorn to the kids on the bus. And you distribute that. You do that. You do something like that. You won't lose your reward. I'm talking about, are you doing what Jesus did? What are you doing that's similar to what Jesus did? I'm not asking whose feet have you washed. Hopefully your own. Who have you served? Jesus met a common need. Jesus met a current need. And in a local church, there are things that need to be done. They're common. They're current. They're happening. They're now. They're not positions or things of notoriety. They're just acts of service. And Jesus modeled that for us and said, do what I've done. Wash somebody's feet. Let me say this today. Jesus met not only a common need, he met not only a current need, but he met the most critical need. I don't have time to develop this like I should or probably like I want to or even should this morning. But in verses 7 and 8, look at verses 7 and 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do. Now Peter spoke up and said, no, you're not going to wash feet, my feet. What I do, thou knowest not, Peter, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now look, Just the simple lie this. Soon after this, Jesus would die on the cross. He would shed his blood so that sinners could be forgiven of their sin. He would be buried in a tomb. He would rise from the dead 3 days and three nights later to prove that he was the Son of God. And in doing that, his death, burial, and resurrection, he would meet the most critical need any person has. That is the need of being saved from sin. That's the most critical need. You can meet every other need a person has. If that need goes unmet, that person dies and goes to hell. So Jesus made it possible for every person to be saved. The truth of the matter is, all but one of the men in this room were saved. And Jesus mentioned that in verse number 11, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. He's talking about Judas. Judas wasn't saved. Judas had never been washed. Judas had never been forgiven. Judas died and went to hell. And I want to say something. Jesus took no pleasure in Judas going to hell. In fact, in just a few hours, you know what he would say to Judas? Friend. Friend, why betrayest thou me? So Jesus took no pleasure in Judas going to hell. He made it possible for Judas and all these other men to be saved by going to the cross and dying. In this case, Judas never got saved. All the other men were. And guess what? All the other men followed in the example of Jesus by being involved in helping somebody else come to salvation. And Jesus gave you and me an example. We can't save them, but we can be involved in helping them come to salvation. We can do that. And that's what he modeled for us. My question, are you doing what Jesus did? What are you doing to serve the needs of others? How are you involved in serving their common, current needs? And serving the most critical need of others. Again, is this just something written and recorded for historical record? Or did Jesus leave us an example to follow? I think we have his word on this. This was not just a time filler. I'm doing this because this is what I want you to do. Look at verse 17. I'm done. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye what? Do them. People who are involved meeting common and current and involved in helping the most critical need of somebody, you know what they are? They're happy people. Jesus did not say happiness comes to the people who know these things. Jesus said happiness comes to the people who do these things. Do them. Are you doing what Jesus did? Are you doing what Jesus did? How long are you going to go if not? How much longer are you going to go on? You need to jump in. You need to be a part. Something that gets your hands wet. Something that gets you, you know, gets you on your knees serving the needs of others. Amen. This is the example Jesus left us. Amen. And I can, you know, I don't ever have to preach this and just make everybody feel peaceful and at ease. Or I can give you the truth. Because it's truth. And this is what Jesus did. He said, now I've given you an example. You follow my footsteps. You serve the needs of others. Serve the common need, serve the current need, and serve the most critical need, that of salvation. Do you know that by coming on Tuesday morning and assembling some John and Roman packets, you might serve the most critical need somebody has by bringing them to Christ? Amen. Just putting a packet together. Putting a packet together. Are you doing what Jesus did? That's the question this morning. Am I doing what Jesus did? Am I meeting the common, current, and the most critical need that others have. I should be following His example. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Let me ask just a couple of questions today before we dismiss. I wonder who's here today would say, okay, Pastor, you know what? I'm listening, I'm hearing, and, you know, more than just sitting here filling up time. I gave my heart to the Lord this morning. I asked Him to speak to my heart, and something was said in the message that kind of poked me, kind of prodded me, but I needed to hear something that was said today. I need to do a better job doing what Jesus did. I need to do a better job doing what Jesus did. And God prompted me about that this morning. Pray for me. Where you sit, can you raise your hand, please, in the air, wherever you are? I appreciate that. Amen. Thank you. You may take your hands down. I see that. Men and women both. That's a blessing. Common, current, and critical need. Some of you should jump in, get involved in the effort of trying to bring folks to Christ. Passing out a John and Romans packet. That's it. I'm not talking about the elderly who can't get around like they used to. I'm talking about those in the full picture of health. What are you doing to help meet the most critical need and helping to bring others to Christ? What are you doing? Are you doing what Jesus did? Now, this morning, is there someone here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died today, would I go to heaven? I don't know. I'm in the dark about it. I don't know. Is that you this morning? Say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Just being honest. Can I see your hand this morning? This is not to do anything other than just to pray. Ask God to help you. Anybody like that here today? Slip your hand in the air, side to side, front to back. I'm not sure I'm saved. Not sure. If you're here today, you've been saved, not been baptized, step out and follow Christ. Be obedient to Him. Believer's baptism. Become a part of the church. And start doing what Jesus did, serving the needs of others. That's what He modeled for us. That's what He wants us to do. You want to do what Jesus did. You want to follow Him. Serve each other. Father, thank You for the privilege to preach Your word this morning. May it fall on good ground in this room. I know the devil hates truth. He despises it. He does everything in the world to try to snatch the seed out of our minds and our hearts before it ever takes root and bears fruit. But I pray that today the seed of Your word would fall on good ground, bring forth fruit in people's hearts and lives. Lord, work in us, please. That's what we came for today. Not to make a show, an appearance, not to fill time, but to give our hearts to You and to be challenged, admonished, exhorted, convicted, whatever, by Your word. Holy Spirit, please don't be shut out of the invitation. Work in hearts today. If somebody's here not saved, please draw them to Christ. Lord, help people to do what You want them to do is my prayer. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. The pianist is playing the song of invitation. God spoke to your heart this morning. Are you saved? If you're not sure that you're saved, now's the time to come. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Are you doing what Jesus did? Are you following Him? Do you have a place of service? Do you have a place where you serve, where you wash somebody else's feet? Not in the literal sense, but in the sense that you're meeting a common, current, critical need. You doing that this morning while we pray, while we wait? If you're not sure you're saved, I invite you to come. Let somebody show you how you can be sure that heaven is your home when you leave this world. While we wait, the Spirit of God has spoken to several hearts this morning. Let's respond to Him. Are you doing what Jesus did while we wait today? I preach rejoicing in my heart the privilege of pastoring people over the years who've just been foot washers. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people, just foot washers. That's it, just foot washers. Some are praying. God spoke to you. Now's the time. Now's the time to respond. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this part of the Scripture. And I thank you it's recorded in John 13, the only place in the Bible we find it. What an example of Jesus leaving us here. And I pray that we do as he did and be foot washers. And thank you for everything that's involved in this Scripture and all that it means. And help us not to miss the fact that this was a current, a common, and a critical need. And I pray that we'd be involved in doing what Christ did. Speak to our hearts about it. In Jesus' name is the prayer made today. Amen.